at bbc.co.uk/Essex.
BBC Essex Travel.
6:21, very good morning to you, and let's meet Marcus Evans now. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning.
Marcus is a businessman, and you've got your own IT company, is it?
I do, and it's tremendously exciting, which everyone immediately thinks when they hear IT.
Well, I was going to ask you, actually, Marcus, what is IT? Because I keep meeting people who do it, and I'm never quite sure what they do.
Well, it's quite a wide variety of things, actually, IT, but in terms of what we do, it's more sort of day-to-day support. When people have problems, they give our help desk a call and our guys help them out and make sure they sort of fix the problems. Basically, we try and be the IT department for other companies who don't have their own.
Oh, I see. So you're sort of a one-stop shop, if you like, rather than...
Yes. So we do projects as well and various different fit-outs and as needed, really.
And you're brought up in the Cone Valley and you now live and work in London.
That's right.
Because so everybody's coming out of London.
I'm also coming out of London.
Are you?
Yes. I'm hopefully moving in the next couple of months to Witham.
Oh, right.
Okay. So back towards my roots to be close to the family.
And you can, of course, do IT from anywhere.
You can, yeah. Joys of remote working, really.
I know. Well, it goes over my head a bit, it has to be said. But now, apparently, from my phone, I can do almost anything.
Almost anything. I think there's still... a certain level of kudos to having personal touch with the clients. Otherwise, they do get a bit upset if all they get a voice.
Well, all this stuff now, FaceTime. Somebody FaceTimed the other day on my phone, frightened the life out of me. It's like being in Star Trek.
It is. It's about the only technology we've got from Star Trek is the FaceTime. But, you know, it works quite well when you have it. It's good for meetings.
And what's the difference between that and Skype?
I think FaceTime's more sort of an app, so you can kind of use it on your phone, whereas Skype is an online dial-up service. Yeah. You can use sort of voice over IP systems. And
you lost me now.
Yeah, okay.
Right. But I'm waiting for the first time when you can when we could do a phone-in show on the radio and that everybody can be seen.
Well, it shouldn't be too long, but I suppose you'd have to do it online. I suppose... The technology's already there, really, if people want to use it. So.
Okay. Now, you look incredibly fit, and my notes here tell me that you're not.
Well, yeah, that's right. I've got an incurable cancer, which fundamentally has changed my life slightly in that I can't go running anymore, which I used to do a lot. But otherwise, I've got no material symptoms, and I just have to go back for checks every so often.
Yeah. So an incurable cancer is different to a terminal cancer, is it not?
Yeah, so the terminology is that terminal sort of, they tend to have a window of between 6 months and a year left, so they'll give you a sort of a finite time frame. Whereas incurable, there just isn't, there's treatment in terms of chemotherapy, but there's no resolution to it. It is ultimately probably going to kill me.
Mm. Did they give you a time frame, or do they or say, no, you could live for... I mean, there are many, many people living with prostate cancer, and quite often the doctors will say, I think you don't really need any treatment. You're probably going to live... You'll probably live as long as you're going to live without the cancer giving you any problems.
Well, the trouble with getting statistics for the cancer I've got is that it typically sort of manifests in people who are 60 or slightly older. So when you look at all of the studies, they talk about 10-year survival.
Yeah.
Now, if someone who's 75 develops it, their 10-year survival to 85, well, you know, there's other factors at play there. So it's very difficult to get a solid diagnosis. It's quite rare to get it at my age.
How long have you had it?
I don't know how long I've had it, but I've been diagnosed 13 months ago now.
Right.
But I've probably had it sort of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But the first symptoms I got was a pain in the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And also I used to do a lot of running. I'd done a few marathons and various organised runs. And I was getting a pain in my left side when I was doing running and then couldn't sort of get over the 6 mile mark, which was unusual for me. So I went to the doctors and they gave me some blood tests and they found it, so...
Dear, oh dear. Well, I had kidney cancer 14 years ago, and so I had a kidney out. But that's a back pain as well. That's how, you know, you find out about these things. But I'm still here.
Yeah. Well,
so there we are. You see, you don't
crossed.
Know, do you? And of course, there are new remedies and new cures and new potions being developed the whole time.
Yeah, I try and keep up to date with everything that's sort of coming out. There was one recent one where they're looking at a measles vaccine where they they sort of completely eradicated it from people's bodies, and then maybe 10 years later it will come back. So there's some exciting stuff going on.
And how do you, I mean, how do you live with it? Do you find it difficult or not? Just sort of wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it and...
Initially, I think I did. For the first 6 months, it was very tough to come to terms with. It was one of those things, you know, you have this infinity stretching ahead of you, and we're all sort of completely unaware of how long we're going to live. And then suddenly you get this stop and it says, well, you know, you've got this and it's not going away. But I think I've sort of tried to embrace it. I've got a blog that I've been sort of putting my thoughts down, feelings, getting in touch with other people with similar conditions. And also, you know, I sort of tried to raise some money for charity and stuff like that. And I've had a lot of good friends who are doing the same. I've got a friend who's doing a half marathon in October called Paul Grogan, who's going to be doing it for Lymphoma Association. So.
Right. And is it a form of leukemia that you have? Or?
No, it's a lymphoma. I mean, they're both blood cancers. But it's just a slightly different type.
Right. Well, listen, let's not dwell on that anymore. Let's talk about the papers. And you're going to come back anyway in about 20 minutes' time, but we've got a couple of minutes. Alcohol warning. So after I found I had cancer, I went out and started drinking lots more than I did before and eating all the things I thought you shouldn't eat.
I can understand that. I must admit, my philosophy slipped somewhat in terms of people are like, oh, there's a lot of cholesterol on that. I'm like, well,
who cares?
Probably the least of my worries, really. and just in general, you know, you do take a different approach. You're like, well, maybe I will have that glass of wine because ultimately it doesn't matter that much long term. And they do say it's healthy for you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But they do worry, of course, about people drinking far too much. And probably a lot of us, I don't know, I like a drink. Do you like a drink?
Oh, I do like a drink. My tipple is rum. Yeah. I enjoy rum and coke.
Well, hardcore.
Well, not necessarily. It depends how much mixer you put with it. I think it's a difficult one, alcohol, really, because it's like all things. In moderation, it's enjoyable. People go out, they have a great time drinking it. It sort of lubricates conversation. It makes people much more gregarious in terms of talking. But like all things, like gambling, like anything like that, it's too much of it and you're in a lot of trouble.
Do you think there should be these warnings? That's what the story in the papers today doctors want these warnings on wine and beer and spirits like they have on cigarettes.
I think warnings aren't a bad thing as long as you don't go too far. So, for example, the cigarette ones are absolutely justified because, you know, that other than the nicotine hit, it is manifestly bad for you. But alcohol, you know, in moderation has been shown to actually, in various different studies, be healthy. So I think as long as you've got warnings on there, then it doesn't really matter as long as they're not the insides of people and that. So I think there's a level to warning. So, for example, when I go to the supermarket, they've got all of the calorie counters and stuff, and they're in their red, orange and greens. Well, if I'm, you know, I'll look at those and sometimes change my mind on it based on what's on there.
Well, I'm having a sugar-free month for the BBC this week. I don't actually take much sugar, I don't think, until you go and look and see what you're buying and how much sugar is in there. There's sugar in practically everything.
Well, it's funny. My mother's a celiac, so she got diagnosed a couple of years ago, which means she can't have gluten, which is basically any sort of wheat product. And actually, it's surprising how much, how many different food sources it's in. So for ice cream, there's all sorts of stuff. Pepper, you just stuff you don't realise. So it's like sugar. It sort of turns up in everything.
Marcus, go and have a... Do you do coffee at the moment?
I do coffee.
You go and have a cup of coffee. And we will see you again in 20 minutes. Thank you very much. Marcus Evans, who, of course, has his own IT company and is about to move it back to Witham. Now, it is 6:30. Gosh, I'm on time. Every minute of the day, I'm on time.
This is unheard of.